you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Mark Grody kind enough to do a Bears report for us at 4 o'clock for Dave Wanstead to join us at 5 o'clock. The first padded practice at Hallis Hall. He joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today, and you could hear Mark at 6 o'clock, Training Camp Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Who won the day, Mark, offense or defense?
I got to give it to the defense, Danny. I know that's not what you wanted to hear, but the defense was simply better than the offense today. You know, Caleb Williams did have one really nice highlight play, and that was a 35-yard touchdown strike to Tyler Scott. But just to give you an example, too, of the offense not being as good as the defense, on the play right before that, Caleb Williams had Roma Dunze wide open in the end zone, as there was an obvious misconnection between Jaquan Brisker and Tyreek Stevenson that left Odunze open, and it was just an overthrow by Caleb Williams. And it was too bad because you had two, like if you are rooting for the offense out here, you then had Jaquan Brisker and Tyreek Stevenson in an animated, like not fighting, and they were a good distance from each other, kind of going back and forth on who missed the coverage on that particular play. Unfortunately, Caleb was not able to take advantage of it. The thing that Caleb Williams was most effective at today, and obviously it's something that's going to come in handy, was the short passing game, using DeAndre Swift and his tight ends and the bailout passes when he had to, because the defense was bringing it today, Danny. And I kept thinking to myself, like, okay, defense is getting to them. They are breaking through right now. You know, and I know, that's all teams are going to be doing to Caleb Williams, is bringing the noise. We saw it with Justin Fields early in his career. We saw it with Trubisky early in his career. We've seen it with every rookie quarterback ever. So at least a good testing ground to see how he would handle some of that. And he did adjust. It just became a shorter passing game, and the downfield passing game just is not completely there yet. Not completely void of it either, but not completely the full Caleb Williams yet.
Saw we had some false starts too, cadence issues.
Yeah, I don't know if there were cadence issues. We did not get clarification on that because we didn't talk to anybody in authority with any of that, and neither of the offensive linemen that spoke today were willing to say what specifically was the issue today. But yeah, there were false starts on the offensive line today. I believe Nate Davis had one, Darnell Wright had one. I think there was a third. I don't know who that was, and at this point I do not know whose fault that was, but this is now two practices in a row where some of the pre-snap offensive penalties have crept back up again after being clean in that regard for a while. So definitely some things over the last 2 days to clean up for the offense. Hasn't all looked terrible by any means. Like, I don't want to make that clear. It's just that the offense is behind the defense still right now, and that's pretty clear.
All right, and This was a day where we actually got to hear from the two guys involved in the highest profile straight up position battle, right? We got Ryan Bates and Shelton today.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The Bears' first unofficial training camp depth chart is out, and I'll go through a couple things on that later on. And instead of putting one of them down, it says Ryan Bates or Coleman Shelton.
Okay.
So they're still playing the game. But they did put Ryan Bates' name first. Maybe that's because B comes before S. But let's hear.
I get the same.
Wow. Look what I just did there, B and S. Ryan Bates, as you know well, Danny, has been a player that has been desired by Ryan Poles for a long time now. He wanted him once, and the Bills matched, but he was able to get him this time around, and I was asking Ryan Bates on what is it like to be wanted so much, obviously, by this general manager and thus this franchise.
So it was really nice. I remember the first time I got traded, I was a rookie in Philly, and I didn't know what to think of it. I thought it was a bad thing. Second time around, I view it as a good thing. You know, I signed a contract here 2 years ago. Didn't quite happen the way they wanted it to. You know, Bills matched the contract. I was there for the past 2 years. They tried to trade for me within those 2 years, and they finally got me on the third try. And, you know, I'm happy they did. I think I fit well in this offense. I love the team. I love everybody so far, and you know, I couldn't have been in a better spot.
Why do you think Ryan wanted you here so badly?
I can go on and on. You know.
Feel free.
I think I fit well in this offense. Wide zone team. You know, I'm athletic. One of my biggest attributes is my feet. And you know, as like I said, today was first day of pads, and got the hit, and I feel like this offense, you know, it does well for me. And I think I do well for the offense. And I can just try to put my best foot forward every day and just try to embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, actions over words. So I've kind of assumed that Bates has the upper hand over Shelton in this because Poles liked him. But Shelton has Shane Waldron experience, and that matters. It feels like they are just going with cheap, familiar depth at center, and how they're playing it so far, Grody, this is as true of a position battle as can be. I mean, literally rotating days with the ones and the twos. It doesn't really get much more of a competition than that.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, it's been legitimate. Even though, as I said at the beginning of this report, the way they phrased it on the unofficial depth chart. And they have been true to it, even going back to OTAs every other day. You know, I do think Ryan Bates has, like, if I had to say, you know, who's going to be the center, I think it's going to be Ryan Bates. But part of this is, and, you know, they were transparent about it, and we've talked about it, that they want to make sure that both guys, Bates and Shelton, can play the position very well because injuries happen. How much do they trust Nate Davis to stay healthy or to be available? We know that Tevin Jenkins has had issues staying healthy as well, and that's another spot where Ryan Bates comes in handy because he's played more guard than he has center in his career. So that's the one caveat with Bates in terms of him thinking that he's the slam dunk at center. He is so versatile at those guard spots as well. So my gut, again, I think it's going to be Bates, but you know, I imagine that Shelton will get some time at center this year because injuries happen on offensive lines. Would you like to hear from Coleman Shelton, Danny?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Bates, Shelton, let's go. Whatever
we got. The big lefty, Coleman Shelton, who was centering today. And this is some really good stuff from wait a minute. I want to give you one more Ryan Bates cut, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
I'm just doing my own little thing out here. One more from Ryan Bates before we get to Coleman Shelton. This is Bates on the stress of competing with Coleman Shelton.
Honestly, I wake up every day and, excuse my language, I just say, F*** it. Whatever happens, happens. You can't worry about making a mistake. You can't worry about stepping on eggshells. You got to go. And that's just kind of what I'm doing.
Kind of to that end, what is it about football players, especially offensive linemen, where guys who are competing against each other, help each other, almost root for each other? You know, sometimes you see veteran guys do everything they can to help rookies eventually take their jobs. I mean, what is it about that mindset of offensive linemen that they compete, but yet it doesn't become personal?
We're just a bunch of big babies. We're big children. That's all we are. And so, you know, we all love each other in the room. You know, times like during training camp is when you build that chemistry, that shared suffrage. And this time of year is when we really grow that chemistry and we really help each other. And everybody's rooting for everybody. Nobody is, you know, everyone's trying to obviously win the job at the end of the day, but we're all trying to make each other better.
I mean, that's a healthy mindset. And I mean, neither of these guys are, they're happy to be in the league, right? Like none of these guys are first round picks. They've been backups. Bates was a backup last year. The last time he was a starter, he was in a training camp competition. Coleman Shelton has been a backup and a starter. Bates has spent time at guard. You know, these guys are, there's a happy to be there component, I would think, to both of these guys at this point.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing. Now that you put it that way, Danny, do we want happy to be there guys competing for the center position for the Chicago Bears?
You can't have all pros at every position. You know,
I know, but it would be nice to think that you have a guy that is, you know, a 2 or 3 year starter at least at center. And I wasn't really thinking about that coming to this report, but when you put it that way, and I don't think you're completely off. I mean, these are two grinder type of offensive linemen, like you said, who are not well decorated, and are competing to be the one to snap the ball to one of the most potential filled quarterbacks that we've seen in a long time. So I guess that it makes me a little bit nervous, but
neither guy is a lock to be on this team next year. If they struggle and it's a weakness, they could use the 22nd pick in the draft on a center who would then replace him and get a 3 or 4 year runway, you know. But these guys are, this is a competition to be the starting center for the Bears week one of this season. I don't think that anyone's going to earn anything much beyond that in this camp because neither one of these guys have much of a pedigree.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Yeah, get through week one, get through this season, figure it out. And maybe, you know, I mean, look, Poles has obviously been scouting and evaluating Ryan Bates for a long time, and he may see something in him. And you heard Bates talking about how handy he would be in the wide zone offense that the Bears are running. And maybe that this is what Poles has been seeing too, and maybe he's in the perfect spot, but it remains to be seen. As far as Coleman Shelton is concerned, this was really good stuff here, talking about Big Bill, as they call him on the field, Andrew Billings, the nose tackle for the Bears, who is very loud out there and tries to mess up the offense. And here's Coleman Shelton talking about that.
Coleman, what's it like going against Andrew Billings when he does that loud verbal move right before the snap? So what is that like for you as a center?
I mean, Bill's probably the best in the league at it. You know, I've played some good amount, and I haven't heard anything like that before. So he does. I mean, he's very emphatic with it. For us, we just got to key into Caleb's voice. You know, they have different. They don't sound the same. It's just one startles you more than the other. You know, so you just got to. We got to lock into Caleb's voice and expect it from the defense. Know the look. Know when they want to get to it. And you know, that starts coming as the more we practice, the more we progress as an offense.
When he does that, what's the balance of? It's kind of probably a little bit annoying, but it's also, I imagine, prepping you for what's to come.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's only getting us better. Obviously, it's an abrupt sound, and it's something we got to lock into because we're going to play away, and there's going to be some loud noises all the time. So it's something we got to focus on and just lock in and just listen for Caleb's voice.
Yeah, Billings is Spiegs always says that I kind of underestimate him, and I guess I do, but he wouldn't be a starting caliber impact player on an elite defensive line. Just on this defensive line, he is a quality starter. You know, he'd make most teams. You know, like if the Bears cut him for some reason, he 30 teams would want to pick up Andrew Billings, but I don't look at him as like a true impact piece. But he clearly is a savvy veteran, like just how the guys all talk about him.
Yeah, and he's pretty good. I mean, he's been good with the Bears. I mean, I think he's been surprisingly good enough that Ryan Poles said, here, let me give you a couple more years on that contract. He may not be a piece for an elite team, but I do think that Andrew Billings is a good nose tackle. And by the way, while we're on that defensive line, I got to tell you, like, Jervon Dexter – and I know that I'm looking for it and maybe even wanting to see him be good, but he was really good today in practice. Jervon Dexter breaking through, had a couple of would-be stuffs, or actual stuffs of running backs. I'm so used to saying would-be. So he looked really good today.
He seems to be the guy that people are – everyone's picking the Jervon Dexter breakout season this year.
I know, and it's easy to do that because you need him to be your three technique. He was a second-round pick.
Yep.
He got his body sculpted a little bit this year, showed up looking different. He was that guy. But, you know, the pads are on, and now we can actually begin, instead of copping out and not being able to evaluate these guys, I can sit here and tell you that Jervon Dexter looked really good today. So did DeMarcus Walker, who, by the way, is the on the starting depth chart as the defensive end opposite of Montez Sweat. So, you know, the defensive line is a position on the Bears that I think everybody could look at and say, yeah, that could afford to get better. Day one with pads on was a good day for the defensive line.
I hope we never have to see this guy play again unless the Bears are up 40, but it was a day for the Bajency.
It was a day for the Bajency. I think you guys are going to love what Tyson Bajan had to say. First, we're going to be serious here with him, and he was asked a good question, and that is, were you worried that the Bears might bring in a veteran quarterback? Because we had talked about that, and it seemed like a good idea, and it might still be a good idea to have a veteran in that quarterback room, but Bajan was asked about that, and then it goes on.
You know, I didn't really think too much about it. I was too busy grinding my absolute face off in the offseason. But whatever they were going to do, you know, that's completely up to them. I can't control that. But, yeah, I was just excited to come back. Whoever was going to be in the QB room was going to be in the QB room. Nothing was going to change on my end, though. But, yeah, like you said, it feels good to know that they have some, you know, that they have confidence in me and that – you know, that they like what I was able to do last year, and hopefully they're being able to see the strides that I've made in the offseason and going into year two.
What was the hardest grinding your face off thing that you did?
June 19th, shout out to my one of my best friends, Derek Gallagher, 1 mile burpee broad jump.
What?
Hour and 7 minutes. Let's go.
Is that burpee for a mile?
Burpee broad jump. Burpee broad jump. 1 mile.
How many calories do you burn out?
I don't know. I ate a lot after that. It was nice.
What would you eat afterwards? Where'd you go after that?
I went to Betty's. Shout out to Shepherdstown, West Virginia. Went to Betty's restaurant. It was in, got the, what did I get? I think I just got 6 eggs and, you know, I might not be getting better necessarily at football when I'm doing a workout like that. However, just the mental edge that it gives me, finding out, you know, what I can endure versus what the next man can endure, in a sense gives me a little mental edge when I show up to things like this and people start complaining about our schedule. I can kind of have somewhere in the back of my head that I've done things far worse than this.
I mean, that is pathological. Like that
burpee broad jump.
So he just burpeed for a mile.
Check this
out. Okay, then.
Check this out. I'm serious.
I like the concession that he is like, I don't know that it makes me better at football.
Yeah, right. Okay. Right. He's like, okay, it seems productive towards being an athlete, though. You know, it's a good
being
exercise.
An athlete, mental toughness.
Burning calories.
I was too busy grinding my absolute face off.
Great question by the Carm, though.
Yeah, well, Carm was all, you know, Carm. He's Mr. Fit. So once he started talking about that, all of a sudden Carm is, you know, off his phone. He's standing at attention and he takes over the press conference, you know?
Yeah. He's Mr. Fit for an old guy, but go on.
Exactly. For an old guy. Exactly.
Mr. Fit, he plays tennis.
I want to be a tennis. I want to be one of the ball boys at Wimbledon. He was literally wearing a Wimbledon sweater today.
Yeah. Carm. Yeah, that's something that he would do. Yeah.
By the way, and a little bit more on this burpee. By the way, Danny, have you ever done a burpee in your life?
No.
Yeah, you have.
Burpees are a bitch.
You jump up, right? Like squat.
You go down, squat, push up, and then jump up on your way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've done.
You could do one right now. Go ahead, right on the front of the mic.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll wait.
Mark will keep it up.
No, I'm fine.
All right, Mark, give us a nugget from today.
So squat. Yeah, no,
squat down, Danny, and then push your feet out, do a push up, and then jump up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
You can do it. You can do it. Go ahead.
Believe me, you have to just do it like you're jumping in a pool, man. You just got to
squat down.
Your heart will, you'll feel real good after you do them.
There All right, he's doing it. He did it. He did
he's
one.
Doing
yeah,
it.
That
I'm
was
doing
clean.
Doing it and doing it.
That was okay. clean. He did a burpee.
All right.
He's got his headphones back on now.
I didn't go forward at all, though.
You don't have to.
Well, but he went a mile.
Yeah, but then you would just take a jump forward as opposed to jumping straight up. You'd just do a jump forward.
A mile down, by the way, down the street, like a public street they were doing. This wasn't like on a track or in a gym. A burpee broad jump. Can you imagine the neighbors? They're like, oh, Tyson's out there doing burpee broad jump again. In West Virginia.
Shout out Shepherdstown, West Virginia, by the way.
We don't shout them out enough.
We don't. Wow. We need to do that more.
It's been too long.
Oh, man.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, a lot of shout-outs from Tyson Bajan today. That was just part of it, too. I mean, I don't have time to play all of it. I mean, there was a couple more Carm follow-ups on Bajan, but I certainly gave you the best of it. But I'm with you, Danny. I mean, if for once in this town, the backup quarterback is not going to be the most popular quarterback in town.
Yeah, it's exciting. Got some time with HT. Did we ever ask him why he is HMAC, by the way?
I blew it again. Okay. I blew it again. All right. I'm going to try to find him because he likes talking. Yeah, the tower was out today. And
Bear special team coach.
Here's Richard Hightower, HMAC.
Okay. We're calling him the tower now?
Yeah, the tower of power. I like the tower, though. I think the tower sounds good. So the tower today, I asked the tower about Roma Dunze because yesterday, Roma Dunze, when they actually did a live punt in 11-on-11, after watching 7 or 8 guys practice returning punts, it was Roma Dunze all by himself. And I brought up the conundrum to him. You got this very skilled player here, the rookie. You don't want to get him hurt. So do you have those conversations when it comes to deciding if Roma Dunze will be your punter, Tower?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always a conversation for any player you put in any position, no matter if it's offense, defense, or kick. And I do understand your question with him being a top 10 pick and having punt return value. But everyone's back there working right now. So nothing's set in stone of who's going to be the punt returner. I mean, we got Rome. We got DeAndre Carter. We got Pettis. We got Velas. We got Strowman. You know, we got Tyreek, who's itching. Right. He told you guys that, and he's our number one corner. So he's itching. DJ Moore does it. So we're just training them all because guess what? We never know what situation we're going to be in a football game. So we got to get all of them ready. I don't know who the guy's going to be.
I will be very surprised if it's Roma Dunze.
God, yeah.
I'll be very surprised.
I'll be mildly surprised, I guess. It just... Like, and I understand that what we see early in camp is not necessarily an indication of what's going to happen in the preseason games or in the regular season, but he's front of the line right now in terms of getting the practice reps and then actually, returning punts in live drills. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, this may be a way to get Roma Dunze on the field, and not that he wouldn't be anyway as a wide receiver, but they may see something. So I guess I would not be as surprised as you, but I would be mildly surprised.
Did he give any indication on the new kickoff rule? I saw that they're going to be practicing that tomorrow, but I am genuinely fascinated in how that's going to look this year.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that myself, to see more of it. We haven't seen enough of it, or sometimes we're more focused on what's going on with the offense and the defense as opposed to special teams. He's been kind of vague about like exactly how he's going to handle everything, and he was asked about body types of guys and different players that he can use, whereas in the past he wasn't able to, so that'll probably be a nice little thing to focus on tomorrow.
Okay. What else we got today, Grody?
Couple other things here from the Bears, and as far I've got this depth chart here in front of me, and what I thought was interesting on it, DeAndre Swift is down as running back one, with Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson competing for the second string spot, or at least that's what I believe when they put Herbert or Roschon. So that I find that interesting. Told you that it's Ryan Bates and Coleman Shelton definitely still competing. And QB2, too, while we're on Tyson Bagent, it does say Tyson Bagent or Brett Rypien. I think it's going to be Bagent, but they're not slam dunking him into QB2 yet. Kyler Gordon missed practice again for the second straight day with tightness. Noah Sewell has been on the sideline, which I find disappointing because it looked like he was on the rise last year, and he's been nowhere to be found so far this year because he is hurt. And finally, Coleman Shelton from Pasadena, California, Danny, told us today that he was a huge Brian Urlacher fan growing up. Automatic 8 Bears for him for saying that today. So that's big news. So, and that does give him a slight edge of the center.
I was going to say, tie goes to the 8 Bears.
Yeah, well, it does. But, I mean, like, I didn't ask Ryan Bates. I mean, do you have a favorite Bears player? And if he says something like, yeah, my dad showed me pictures of Wilbur Marshall, and I love this guy, then Coleman Shelton will step up to 9 Bears. But we're going to find out soon.
It's a sliding scale of Bears.
That's right, Bears.
Did you see Wani roaming the field?
I did not. I was told. They were asking me, hey, Grody, what time are you going on today? I said, well, I got to go on at 4 because, you know, Wani's the headliner at 5 o'clock. And they're like, oh, you should have talked to Wani. He was out here today. So I missed Wani, and I find that very disappointing.
For those still listening from the midday show, did you get that burger over to our guy B-Mac?
I didn't see B-Mac today either.
Were you even at practice?
Well, they Bernstein and Holmes said they could not even book our former sports director, Brendan McCaffrey, because McCaffrey was too busy today. So I don't know where he was hiding. He gets to hang out with the upper-class citizens here at Hallis Hall when he comes rolling in with Jim Miller. He's got Joniak. He had Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles down in their little radio room out here at Hallis Hall. So I don't know. He's big time to me.
Were you hidden in Stacey Dale's locker today in her closet where you get to do your hits in the morning?
No, but I'm in there right now.
yeah, you know, Stacey, that's Mark User Closet.
Yeah. Stacey's.
We appreciate that.
We do.
Yeah, no, we really appreciate that because it's. I don't know if you noticed, but it sounded better than ever, and that's really the Stacey Dale's touch.
Yeah, no music in the background this time.
Yeah, well, we could do that for you guys. I could probably this is the time when the players start speeding out of the building. So, you know, maybe I could just do my reports from outside and tell you the cars that they're driving out in.
So you stay in this closet through your show tonight at 6 o'clock?
Yeah, because I don't know if you guys realize this, but I am coming up at 4:45, 4:46. I'll be on WBBM radio. I'm doing updates for them, too, so I've got to stay hunkered down in this NFL Network studio where I'm existing right now. Shout out, by the way, the big shout out to the Bears, one of the IT guys for the Bears.
Okay.
No, seriously, man. Brent, this guy comes downstairs. He fixes this line that I'm on right now. He worked on the Ethernet cord for a while and took it upon himself to make sure that we would sound clear today. So shout out to Brent with the Bears and Bears.
Thank you, Brent.
All right, Brent.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks. Bye. Hey, say hi to Wani for me, right, Danny?
I'll be sure to do just that. Dave wants that coming up at 5 o'clock. Speegs is the tourist from Ames, Iowa, but I think I might have topped him with my recent escapades in the city. Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Doing it and doing it and doing it.
Afternoons on The Score.
Yeah, it definitely set in for me when I definitely got on that plane ride. That's when it definitely hit me. Like, that's when it hit me the hardest because, you know, I've never been to Chicago, Illinois ever. And as soon as I landed, you know, I was over there like I felt like a tourist because I was over there looking side to side, looking at all windows, like, oh, ah, like all that, feeling nice and trying to be a, you know, trying to sightsee while I was in the plane and when I got off the, got onto my car too. And, you know, it really hit me hard because it's just, like all that, like I said, that's my dream and I'm just happy to be here.
Also want to ask you, with the city itself, what excites you most about being in Chicago and what are you looking forward to doing when you get a little bit of time to explore?
You know, I've, in person, I don't think I've ever seen, do you guys have a skyscraper?
Back from Atlanta, California, to my sweet home, Chicago.
Yeah, we got skyscrapers. And on Wednesday, you know, they do the Navy Pier fireworks. They do them Wednesdays and Saturdays. And Owen loves fireworks so much, my four-year-old. And we took him to the city last year for him, and then him and I did the 4th of July fireworks this year, but we didn't keep Eli up for him. And Owen just was rubbing it in his face. Eli, I saw the fireworks last night. You went to bed. Like, just like taunting his little brother.
Good kid.
About how Eli couldn't stay up to see the fireworks. So we were like, all right, that's not very nice, buddy. Like, we'll all go see the fireworks and we'll keep Eli awake. So we did like a trains, planes, and automobiles situation. They rode the train down, which any 2 and 4 year old boy, train's the greatest thing in the world until you get on a boat. So they took the train down. I did the show on Wednesday. Then I walked over to Union Station, met them. We took water taxi from Union Station to Navy Pier.
Underrated thing, by the way. So cool.
Super underrated.
Take it from anywhere to Chinatown, go get dinner, take it back downtown, $3, $4, whatever.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And you can, I mean, get off at Michigan Avenue, get off at Navy Pier, Chinatown, whatever, and see the city from the river. It's incredible.
Will they go out to my house?
They won't go all the way.
I'm not ready for that, for that commute.
Dude, tell me about it. Any level of the commute that isn't on the frickin' Kennedy is amazing. But we're on the boat, and they're like, you know, you got to sit down. Eli can't see over the ledge if he's not standing up.
Why is he so small?
Well, he's 2. And so he's just squirming around and being a jerk, and I was holding him by the ledge, and he threw his toy cement mixer thing into the river. Then the guy had to scoop it out because he started crying. So the guy scoops out the cement mixer. Oh, yeah.
Whole, so were you docked or moving?
Docked.
Okay.
Docked.
Like they didn't turn around the whole last taxi.
No.
Cement mixer.
No. We were docked. Okay. But I mean, kid starts melting down, throws it overboard, whatever. So train, boat, Navy Pier. All right. They want hot dogs and pizza. Done. Go to the food court at Navy Pier.
Easy.
No problem. Of course, ordering hot dogs with ketchup in Chicago, whatever.
$625 later, exactly. They have their hot dog and pizza.
A gazillion dollars. Exactly. Steph got a bottle. Like, she got the hot dogs, brought back water. I'm like, I'm getting beer. Like, I don't know why you're trying to do this entirely sober. Then want to go on the Ferris wheel. I've never been on the Ferris wheel before.
That one or a Ferris wheel?
On that Ferris wheel. I've been on a Ferris wheel before. I've never been on the Navy Pier Ferris wheel before. Like, it's the most touristy thing in the world. It's like $65 for the three of us to go on the Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
But incredible view. I had a great time. Kids had a great time. We gave them ice cream right before we got into that line. Big mistake.
Sure.
They were going insane. I tried to tell the lady, I was like, don't let us go into this 8-person car. Like, I know I didn't pay for a private car, but I'm just telling you that, like, you put us in with 4 other people. These kids are bouncing off the walls with sugar. Like, they're going to ruin another family's experience.
Yeah.
And they actually didn't.
Good.
I think they got kind of intimidated by being 300 feet in the air in a glass tube. And they kind of were, like, clutching to us or whatever. But had a great time.
They should. The boys have a healthy respect for heights.
They do. Healthy respect for height. So we got the train, we got the boat, we got the pizza and the hot dogs, we got the Ferris wheel. Then, like, all right, we're going to make it about 8:30. We get done with the Ferris wheel. And keep in mind, both the kids are asleep by now by normally 45 minutes, an hour.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we are going to leave we're going to leave Navy Pier and walk towards, like, Columbia Yacht Club, like down by the where the boats are docked, to see the fireworks from over there, so we have an easier walk back to the Prudential Building where the cars park. So we're, like, hoofing it and going, like, down the thing, the lakeshore. I'm exhausted. Get there, come back, and I'm just watching the fireworks. We get there. I'm like, that's the greatest thing in the world, man. I just did afternoon drive in this city, got my two boys, complete tourist,
deep dish, hot dogs, fireworks, Navy Pier, Ferris wheel, tourists. The people that we shared the Ferris wheel with were from Mexico. Where they were, you know what I mean? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like it's just like I don't know that any Chicagoan ever hangs out on Navy Pier.
No.
Like I don't.
We don't do that.
Every single person on Navy Pier felt like a tourist, other than me and us. And it was just
Speaks just like for his like quarterly visit.
But I feel like I should take the water taxi once a week. Just to see the city. You have a huge appreciation for the city. The redone Riverwalk. I know you spend a bunch of time down there.
Yeah.
The Riverwalk is so beautiful.
Dude, my girlfriend lives right on the Riverwalk. We'll just go down and have, if we're going to get like a glass of wine at the end of the night.
You should do it every day.
Just do it at City Winery. Why wouldn't you?
It's so awesome.
Perfect.
And I know that's not any crazy revelation for people that are down here, but when I lived in the city back in the day, none of that existed.
Right.
None of that, like that is such a great job.
It's something Rahm absolutely crushed.
He crushed.
Rahm crushed the Riverwalk.
Like you go down, and I've been down it before, but just like to reiterate it, there's so much green space and drinking space and kayak rentals and photographs and private boat tours. And like, it's so amazing to see the city from that vantage point. So it was a touristy day with two maniac kids. But I felt like a tremendous amount of appreciation, and my life's been like very, very chaotic recently as I just do like a little live therapy here on the radio. But I would say that like feeling a lot of gratitude for all the things that my family had been through in the last couple of years. And then I got these two boys and I got my wife and I was able to do this dream job and then have that incredible day in the city and then like wake up the next morning and just doing an insane amount of planning right now. We're less than 4 weeks out from this radiothon, so things are getting absolutely insane. But people should, if you want to get involved, you could DM me or 670radiothon@gmail.com. But just be ready for an incredible day of programming, August 15th to the 16th, 10 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's going to be the biggest fundraiser in the history of this radio station.
Did
I'm
Owen
very confident.
Or Eli dislike anything? Like, were they met with any adversity?
No adversity.
Strong.
It was crazy. I mean, Owen fell asleep on the car ride home. Eli didn't. Eli was running around the park during the fireworks, like still on the sugar high from the ice cream. Like that kid, like we put him to bed at 7:30. He was sprinting in the field, just running in circles.
Does he have ice cream at home?
I mean, not during the day. Sometimes, like if it's real hot, or they'll like do like a
popsicle or something.
Yeah, like a snack, like a dessert treat. Like during the day, we don't normally give it to him close to bedtime. But he was an absolute maniac. But no, man. It was just, this is a beautiful, beautiful city. And I do think architecture tour, Navy Pier, Ferris wheel, the stereotypically touristy things, appreciate those things every now and again. So in conclusion, I would never say it to his face, obviously. Speaks was right. Good city to be a tourist in.
Yeah, it's fine.
Just saying.
He do it once a year, maybe twice a year, maybe two times a summer with your family. Speegs does it every damn weekend.
Right. No, I know.
He's just always hanging out downtown. Guy's never heard that we have neighborhoods.
I know. That's that.
What, 84 neighborhoods here? I think
that is a difference, the frequency of it. But I really, really, really enjoyed
77.
Have either of you guys done the Ferris wheel at Navy Pier?
No. The old one, not this current one. This current one's like a spaceship.
They changed it?
Yeah.
I think I did the old one then. Yeah.
I don't know.
Must have been like a field trip or something. Yeah. Right.
Gift from France, I think.
I just had never did it before. It's really nice. Really smooth. Not scary in any way.
Good. You're 38, right?
37.
Yeah. I'm glad the Ferris wheel wasn't scary.
Proud of you.
I mean.
Big boy.
Yeah. It was, nice. You know.
It's a fun thing, man. It's okay to admit that the city is beautiful, right?
And touristy.
Right.
And touristy.
All right, but now take him to Pilsen.
Right, that's what I should probably do.
Yeah,
next.
Take him to Talia Hall.
Yeah, I probably should. Yeah. the real tour of Chicago.
Take your kids to O Block.
You want to
take him to the 4500 block of West Monroe.
Oh, really?
You think
that's where they would
show them everything?
Do you think that's where they would do their best work?
They would thrive.
Have Eli sprinting around throwing cement mixers at people.
Oh, no.
you think that's a good idea? All right, I'll be sure to do that.
Show them everything.
Yeah, no, of course. We can talk about this Paris television show that's going on right now, also known as the Olympics. And then Dave Wannstedt will join us at 5. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Everybody, we are live.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Strange twists and turns with the guys over there on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
We're having a little fun.
Oh, just because we respect the Olympics.
I can't believe these opening ceremonies are just wrapping up.
Go USA.
We were talking about them during transition. That is an eternity. I know people will watch it back in prime time, but my God. I feel like everyone likes the Olympics more than me. And I don't
They don't like the Olympics more than they like you. It only happens once every 4 years.
More than I like the Olympics.
Dude, stop being so self-deprecating. Yeah, the weekend's coming up.
Have you ever tried being as personable as the Olympics? or even as patriotic as the Olympics?
Yeah. Definitely not. Definitely.
People like that.
Figure that and try that. And then they're going to say, oh, curling or Danny Parkins? Parkins.
You ever try giving out a medal to someone for doing something good?
People like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just play a song whenever they accomplish something?
You ever try forcibly injecting steroids into a track and field runner?
No, I've never done that.
You should, and people would like you more than they like the Olympics.
Makes it more likable. Okay. Yeah, well, syntax got me again.
Would you send Jakari Richardson to the what word am I looking for? The shed for smoking weed?
No.
You wouldn't. So people would like you people more like than they like the Olympics.
I'm saying people like the Olympics more than I like the Olympics. And I don't I don't dislike the Olympics. It's fine. I know if I tune in, I enjoy it, but I don't normally go out of my way to tune in. But the pomp and circumstance of this opening ceremony, all of a sudden Celine Dion, it looked like it was incredibly powerful. She was just singing on top of the Eiffel Tower in the rain. And if you were the flag bearer, like LeBron's the flag bearer for Team USA, wouldn't you be a little bummed that you're on a boat instead of walking in to an Olympic stadium holding the flag? He was just stationary on a boat holding the flag. Like, he wasn't walking with the flag. He was just holding the flag.
I mean, do you think he had to walk with the flag at some point? Like, once he gets in there, he'll probably have to walk with it.
Into the stadium?
Yeah.
I only saw him on the boat.
Like this isn't a Boston duck boat or a Wisconsin Dells duck boat. They don't do land and water. They're gonna have to dock at some point after he throws his cement mixer into the French Sea or whatever the hell river is over there.
Yeah, but okay. So you're saying, all right, yeah, that's true. I didn't see the end of the ceremony. So you're saying they went into a stadium. I thought that maybe they were just it was all happening on the river.
No, that's just the parade part.
That's just the parade part.
Yeah.
Okay.
From the videos I saw, it was giving very much Hunger Games. Like, how many athletes are we murdering in this Olympics?
I don't know, man.
I was looking for Plutarch out there.
I never understand. There's always a bunch of like themes and choreographed dances and things that are just way, way, way over my head. But I'll check it out. Could you be an Olympian?
Yeah, 100% equestrian.
Equestrian.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, I could ride the crap out of a horse.
Have you ever ridden a horse?
Yeah, I used to go to horse camp, me and my cousin Connor in Wisconsin, about 5 summers in a row from when I was like 10 or 8 to 13. Went to horse camp.
This might be mean, and I don't mean it to. Aren't you too big?
I wasn't when I was 8.
Okay.
And even now I'm not.
No, you're not too big to be an Olympic jockey?
No, this isn't jockey. This is like performative. This is like barrels and stuff like that.
Oh, so those are bigger. Those people are bigger than jockeys?
The horses are a little bit bigger than the racehorses, yeah. Yeah.
And so the people that ride them are bigger than the jockeys?
Yes, yes.
Really?
Yes. Yep, I could teach a horse no problem.
How the hell?
Yep.
That's
fascinating. They put them on a plane. Yeah, equestrian. Tanny?
Well, okay.
No, go ahead, Danny.
No more questions.
No. I just had more questions for Shane.
My horse at horse camp, 3 of the 5 years, his name was Oreo, and then he died. I didn't get Oreo my last 2 years. No, it wasn't me. It was not me.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Did it kill itself?
Yep. Yeah.
Shane's coming back.
No, I love horse camp. It was someplace in Wisconsin, some farm. It was like 25 minutes from my cousin's house, so they put us on a school bus every morning and then send us back. But we do like 8-hour days, 4 or 5 days a week for
a
summer.
So this isn't about speed. This is about jumping and balance and tricks and things like that.
Yep. I could also do shooting.
Shooting?
Yeah.
On a horse?
I mean, that's part of it, I think. Not the equestrian, but like the other, the shooting.
Separate event.
Yeah. Yeah, I could do that.
Okay, you're not going to be shooting while riding a horse.
I could if I wanted to.
All right, that's your own event. All right, well, we'll revisit this later on in the show. Pick other events that we could be Olympians in. I'd like to see you ride a horse. Could you ride a horse tomorrow?
Yeah, definitely.
There's a horse outside, you could ride it.
Yes.
Saddle? Yeah. No saddle.
Both, whatever.
Both. You could ride a horse bareback.
Yes, I can.
Huh.
Yep.
Last time I doubted you on an act of physical strength, you broke an apple in half with just your hand.
Yeah, one hand, by the way.
One hand.
Yes, stop doing that.
All right, I'm going to stop doubting you. You're a very, very talented man.
I love when that video pops up on our Twitch. I know we're late, but I'm just like, because I wasn't here that day, and I just look at it like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Sean Anderson.
Yeah, mid-show, prominent. I went to Bockwinkel's, and I bought a couple different types of apples, so there'd be no question.
Was this a COVID show?
No.
I don't think...
Just a show you weren't here.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we tried to have fun.
So serious, strong-minded things. Yeah, we stopped talking sports. Anyway, Dave Watts, that was at Bears practice today with his good friend Matt Eberflus. He tells us stories next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.